Good morning. Let's turn to Ezra chapter 10. We're going to finish Ezra today. And next week we'll start with Nehemiah. So Ezra chapter 10. Now, while Ezra was praying and making confession, weeping and prostrating himself before the house of God, a very large assembly, men, women, and children, gathered to him from Israel. For the people wept bitterly, and Shechaniah, the son of Jehiel, one of the sons of Elam, answered and said to Ezra, "We have been unfaithful to our God, and have married foreign women from the peoples of the land, yet now there is hope for Israel in spite of this. So now let us make a covenant with our God to put away all the wives and their children, according to the counsel of my Lord and those who tremble at the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law. Arise, for this matter is your responsibility, but we will be with you. Be courageous and act." Then Ezra rose and made the leading priests, the Levites, and all Israel take oath that they would do according to this proposal, so they took the oath. Then Ezra rose from before the house of God and went into the chamber of Johanan, the son of Eliashib. Although he went there, he did not eat bread nor drink water, for he was mourning over the unfaithfulness of the exiles. And they made a proclamation throughout Judah and Jerusalem to all the exiles they should assemble at Jerusalem, and that whoever would not come within 3 days, according to the counsel of the leaders and the elders, all his possessions should be forfeited, and he himself excluded from the assembly of the exiles. So all the men of Judah and Benjamin assembled at Jerusalem within the 3 days. It was the ninth month of the 20th of the month, and all the people sat in the open square before the house of God, trembling because of this matter and the heavy rain. Then Ezra, the priest, stood up and said to them, "You have been unfaithful and have married foreign wives, adding to the guilt of Israel. Now, therefore, make confession to the Lord God of your fathers, and do his will, and separate yourselves from the peoples of the land and from the foreign wives." Then all the assembly answered and said with a loud voice, "That's right. As you have said, so it is our duty to do. But there are many people. It is the rainy season, and we're not able to stand in the open, nor can the task be done in 1 or 2 days. For we have transgressed greatly in this matter. Let our leaders represent the whole assembly, and let all those in our cities who have married foreign wives come at appointed times, together with the elders and judges of each city, until the fierce anger of our God on account of this matter is turned away from us. Only Jonathan, the son of Asahel, and Jazeah, the son of Tikva, opposes with Meshullam and Shabbatai, the Levite, supporting them. But the exiles did so, and Ezra, the priest, selected men who were heads of fathers' households for each of their fathers' households, all of them by name. So they convened on the first day of the 10th month to investigate the matter. And they finished investigating all the men who had married foreign wives by the first of the first month. And among the sons of the priests who had married foreign wives were found of the sons of Jeshua, the son of Josedech, the brothers Messiah, Eliezer, Jerob, and Gedaliah. And they pledged to put away their wives, and being guilty, they offered a ram of the flock for their offense. And the sons of Immer, they were Hanani and Zebediah. And the sons of Haram, Masasiah, Elijah, Shemaiah, Jehiel, and Uzziah. And the sons of Pashur, Elionai, Messiah, Ishmael, Nathaniel, Jozabad, and Elasa. And the Levites, there were Jozabad, Shimei, Kaliah, that is Kalita, Pethatiah, Judah, and Eliezer. And the singers were Eliashib, and the gatekeeper Shalom, Telem, and Uri. And of Israel, of the sons of Parosh, there were Ramiah, Isaiah, Malkijah, Mijamin, Eleazar, Malkijah, and Benaniah. And then the sons of Elam, Mattaniah, Zechariah, Jahil, Abdi, Jeremoth, and Elijah. And the sons of Zatu, Elionai, Eliashib, Mattaniah, Jeremoth, Zabad, and Azizah. The sons of Bebai, Johananan, Hananiah, Zabai, and Athali. The sons of Bani, Meshulam, Malcolm, Maluk, and Adai, Jashub, Sheol, and Jeremoth, and the sons of Pehath Moab, Adna, Chilal, Benaniah, Messiah, Mattaniah, Bezaliel, Benua, and Manasseh, the sons of Haram, Eliezer, Ishijah, Malkijah, Shemaiah, Shimeon, Benjamin, Maluk, and Shemariah, the sons of Hashem, Mattaniah, Matata, Zabad, Eliaphelet, Jeremiah, Manasseh, and Shimei, and the sons of Bani, Madai, Amram, Uel, Benaniah, Bediah, Chaluhi, Vanaya, Merathoth, Eliashib, Mattaniah, Mattani, Jasu, Bani, Binu, Shimei, Shelemiah, Nathan, Adiah, Machnadebai, Sheshai, Shurai, Azarel, Shelemiah, Shemariah, Shalom, Amariah, and Joseph, the sons of Nebo, there were Jael, Mattathiah, Jabaz, Zedina, Jadai, Joel, and Benaniah. All these had married foreign wives, and some of them had wives by whom they had children. Amen. Okay, so this is the reforms, okay, that are going on during this time. And this actually leads to revival. Now, you're wondering where we're going to go with this. Now, I can make the very, very easy connection between the sin of the Israelites here to the sin of many people today, in the sense that the Old Testament concept was do not marry foreign wives. It was to keep the purity of the Israelite people by which the Messiah was going to come forth. Now, the easy connection is that in the New Testament, God to allow us to also keep the purity of our faith tells us not to be unequally yoked. And so we see that manifesting. So it'd be a very easy way. This is like the Old Testament idea. There's a New Testament idea of being unequally yoked. But that's not what I want to talk about. Even though that's a very, very easy connection to make here. But what I do want to talk about is actually the actions of Ezra and Shechaniah. And I think that what they do here, I thought you turned the air on. I was like, I got a nice fan. Oh, thank you. But what I do want to talk about is the incredible act of these two guys. Now, and I'll explain why that means. And I'm going to explain to you why that's important today in Hong Kong right now as a follower of Christ. I'm going to make that connection for us. Number one, Ezra. Ezra was such a pious man. He was such a revered leader, spiritual leader, governmental leader. I mean, this guy had it all. He was like a Daniel figure in this way. And he goes into the chamber to pray, and his lamentation, in other words, his prayers are not only so loud, but they're so passionate that a crowd starts gathering together. In other words, Ezra actually planned for a personal revival, personal repentance, but it turned into a national cause. And generally that's how it works. It takes a few faithful men to rise up and to publicly proclaim, and then out of that place, there seems to be a national repentance that's happening. And I'm still, as an American, I'm still waiting for a national repentance. As it pertains to the issue of abortion. I'll tell you a quick story. When I was living in D.C., this is years and years ago, my roommate, I tell people don't believe me when I say this, my roommate was Senator Brownback. And Senator Brownback, who becomes the governor of Kansas, who actually ran for president of the United States. And when he was in the Senate for Kansas, he actually went to the Capitol and repented for abortion, which is just huge. And so, I'm believing that through that man's actions and a lot of other political leaders in that time, there will eventually be a national repentance of murder. But that's a whole nother thing. And so that's what happens to Ezra. Ezra is praying. He's making confession. He's weeping. He's prostrating himself before the house of God. And then a large assembly gathered together. And so his example of repentance, of humbling himself, prostrating himself before the Lord, I think made a very, very good example for the people of Israel. So they gather together a whole bunch of them, and the people themselves also start weeping bitterly. In other words, this is a spirit. This is something that the Holy Spirit does. And they get caught into this. And then one of their leaders, Shechaniah, I want you to know, if you read carefully, he says, Shechaniah, the son of Jahiel, the son of the sons of Elam. You can read about the sons of Elam in it's verse 26. And it says, and the sons of Elam, Mattaniah, Zechariah, Jahiel, Zabdi, Jeremoth, and Elijah, And notice here, actually, Shechaniah is not one of these guys. In other words, Shechaniah did not marry a foreign woman. Shechaniah actually did right before the Lord. But what does Shechaniah do? He says, he answered and said to Ezra, look what his words. We have been unfaithful to our God and have married foreign women from the peoples of the land. Yet now there is hope for Israel in spite of this. He could have said, those guys did that, right? They, not me, I'm not part of this, I'm righteous. I mean, the text proves that Shechaniah was righteous, but he says, we have done wrong. We have been unfaithful to our God. We have married foreign women from the peoples of the land. And now there is hope for Israel in spite of this. And so he is what we call, in a scholarly term, this is what would be called identificational repentance. And he identifies with the people. He identifies with the sin of the people. And then he offers repentance on behalf of the people. And so it's right. He identifies himself. He recognizes that he's not excluded from this, that he's also part of this in some way. And then once he identifies himself, then he repents on behalf of the people that actually had done wrong in God's eyes. Now, the great model of this actually is Jesus Christ. Because in Jesus, Luke tells us that, and this goes all the way back to the Isaiah passage, and he says that he was numbered with the transgressors. In other words, he identified himself as a he never transgressed. He identified himself. He was numbered with the transgressors, with the thieves on the side of him, and he offered repentance on their behalf. And Jesus is really the great model of this idea of identificational repentance, of what it's called being numbered with the transgressors. It's actually a great book if you really want to understand more about this. It's called Number with the Transgressors, so you get the idea. But these two guys, Ezra and Shechaniah, and you'll see this in history through Samuel. You'll see this with David. You'll see this with Moses. You'll see this with guys that really, at least in this particular matter, actually totally blameless, but they are identifying with the people, identifying with their sins, and offering repentance to the Lord that God would come down, heal, save them, deliver them, rescue them, and then lead them into fruitfulness. And that's basically what we have here in Ezra 10. It's interesting how, you know, it's kind of like, all the transgressors are named, and that becomes the end of really the revival and reformation. But it's actually, that's the perfect way. Because the only way reformation, revival come is repentance. You know, I'm a student of revival. And so I love revival, man. I mean, I think my whole ministry started in a season of revival. And we had a sovereign move of God in our youth group. And so I've been interested. I've studied it, read tons of books on the topic. You know, I took a class at Fuller on it. And one of the things, and this is where, I mean, I'm all for, you know, a lot of really cool spiritual phenomena occurring in these things. But when I look at through the course of revival history, one of the main, really, more than anything else, one of the main objects was repentance. This happened in the Cane Ridge Revival. This happened in the Great Awakening. This happened in the Hebride Revival. This happened in the Welsh Revival. This happened in the Korean Revival. This happened in the Shantung Revival. I mean, you go all through history. Significant moves of God started with repentance. And isn't that exactly what Luke tells us in the book of Acts? Repent and return so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And what I see a lot of times, you know, I'll be honest, right? When I see like kind of the healing movement, I remember, you know, there was this this move of God that was happening in Florida a little while ago through a very well-known evangelist named Todd Bentley. And I can relay this story because this is RT's story. And one of his friends said, RT, you got to watch this. And it was like live on God TV, like 24 hours a day. You know, Christian TV network. And so they're broadcasting it. And so he says, you got to see it, because RT is also a lover of revival. I mean, he's been crying out for revival for like 60 years. And so when he got to that place and he started watching this revival in Lakeland, Florida, and he told his friend, and he said, this is not a move of God. And his friend goes, what? You know, this is God. And then a very big Christian magazine asked RT to write an article. So he wrote an article, and he wrote, this is not a move of God. You know, this is not. And everyone was like, RT, you can't write that. You know, like everyone who's everyone, you know, Bill Johnson, Cheon, you know, all these guys were endorsing this. And, you know, I mean, Peter Wagner, I mean, all the big, they were all endorsing this. And RT alone says, this is not a move of God. And they asked him, why, RT? Why is this not a move of God? And he said, well, I watched about 10 episodes of this revival. Like, I wanted to go down, but I wanted to watch it first. And he says that he never mentioned anything about salvation, like Jesus, you know, repentance. You know, it's all about like miracles. You know, it's all about, well, I had this word of knowledge and this guy got healed and I did this. And he said it was so man-centered. It was almost like it was kind of bad taste in his mouth. So he wrote this article. This is not a move of God. And he got blasted by the charismatic community. Well, a month later, this guy totally falls, because he was having, you know, I don't have to get into details, but he was having all kinds of issues with women and stuff, and the revival died overnight. And then people came up and said, RT, you're right. You know, and RT just said, why do I have to have evidence to prove I'm right? You know, you should have just, if you're my friend, you should have just trusted me at my word. You know, and after that, my respect level for RT, you know, I mean, went up a whole nother notch, right? But it's true. A lot of modern day things that you see right now is all about power. I don't know, man. You know, I mean, I like power. You know, don't get me wrong. I love all the charismatic stuff. But, you know, as I look through the scriptures, repentance is one of the key elements for a move of God. You don't have repentance, you don't have a move of God. You may have a good time, but it's not going to last very long. It reminds me in Exodus 33. Remember when Moses and God are having this conversation? And remember in 32, they make the golden calf. And so God basically wants to smite them. And Moses says, no, please don't. And he's doing identification repentance. He's asking on repentance on behalf of the people. And so he says, no, please don't do that, you know, so on and so forth. And so he relents. And then God says something. He says, my angel, my power will go before you. My presence won't. And then remember Moses, because he was such a man of God, he says, Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us, we don't want to go. See, but that goes to the heart of, I think, people's vanity. Most people would rather have God's power than God's presence. In other words, speaking for all the Korean moms out there, Lord, if you send my son to Harvard, wow, that's all I want from you. I don't need anything else. Or if I could just be married, you know, and that's, you know, you just want God's power, but we have no regard for God's presence. And Moses flipped the script and he said, God, I don't want your power. I want your presence. Because if your presence doesn't go with us, then how will we be distinguished from every other people from the face of the earth if not for the presence of God? See, sometimes God will give his power without his presence. He offered that to Moses in Exodus 33. And so we see that, I mean, what a great way these guys, and I mean, what a privilege to have their names written here, not because they did wrong, but because they repented. The text tells us in verse 15, there were a bunch of other ones and they did not agree to this. And so they were excluded from this national revival, this incredible move of God. It started with repentance. Now, repentance started in this case, because one man, think about this, national repentance started because one man prayed and another man who actually didn't have any guilt joined along with him and said, yes, you're right, Ezra, we have done wrong. And so why am I bringing this up? What Hong Kong needs is national repentance. We need people to stand in the gap and not point at the police nor the protesters, but actually stand in the gap and say, we have committed violence. We have brought hatred into this land. We have done all these different things, and take our stand and begin to repent on behalf of the people. What's happening now is people are pointing their fingers at one another. You know, they're saying, well, you're the one who did this. You're the one who started this. This is why this happened to that person. And your actions led to this string of events and so on and so forth. And it's about time that the people of God, at least the people of God, stop pointing fingers, you know, about bad prayers and these things and bad connections with the scriptures and all that stuff. And just stand in the gap and say, we have done wrong, Lord. We have contributed to this. You know, and I say as a foreigner, PR, you know, permanent resident here, yeah, I think every time I've smirked or had a negative thought or idea about China, I've contributed to this as well. Every time I've made fun of something in Hong Kong or whatever, I've also contributed to this. I'm also guilty. I may not be out in the street or doing all these, you know, crazy things, but we have all contributed in some way. And it's we need to identify with that and ask God to bring his healing and to repent on behalf. And if I look here, I mean, what is happening here in Israel is 100 times worse than what's happening in Hong Kong. But it took one man, another man, to come together to earnestly, passionately pray and repent on behalf of the people, and a nation was changed as a result. You know, I'm believing that this could be the blueprint of what maybe God has in store for us as a nation. And so let's close our eyes. Let's number ourselves with the transgressors. Let's identify. We didn't do anything wrong. In a certain way, but Jesus is our example. And as Isaiah says, he was numbered with the transgressors. He became one of them. And today, let's take ownership of our city. Let's repent. You know, I was at a conference this past week in Oklahoma City. Activity. And one of the things he mentioned was the spirit of violence. And when he said that, man, my heart and my spirit just begin to just moan inside. Because I knew that entity, that spirit of violence, has taken over this city. And we need to pray against. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. We need young men and women that will battle that spirit of violence over this land right now. Not just to pray for peace, that's one way, but to actually take up our sword and fight the good fight of faith, to resist the devil, to resist that spirit of violence. And the Bible says, and he must flee. And let's pray this morning, however the Lord leads you in that way.
You're the one.
Let's pray, huh? Can we start? Let's pray for our city today. Let's identify. Let's come against that spirit of violence that's ravaged our city. You know, every time my wife and I were reading and we're watching the news, and you know, we see clips of protesters, like just bashing. You know, the MTR and all these things. And, you know, Lisa just keeps saying, man, don't they know they're ruining their own city? That's what the spirit of violence does. It has no regard for anything. It's nonsensical. And let's just pray. Let's just go before the Lord. Let's stand in the gap. And let's identify and let's repent on behalf of a nation that's in turmoil right now. Let's pray. Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancer and going through therapy. So let's pray for God's healing word. Pray for our community that are battling through illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community that's going through non-cancer-related illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus today. Let's pray for Japan. Let's pray for Pastor Sophia. She's on her furlough. Pray for the church plant, hopefully next year, SP Tokyo and Jungmin and his family. Let's pray for Cambodia. Let's pray for Grace and Oasis House with Pastor Jenny. Let's ask God to bless our soldiers that are out in the field, that are doing their work. Let's lift up these countries and pray for the Holy Spirit to breathe His wind. Let's pray for our missions council, and let's pray for Holy Spirit to just fill our brothers and sisters with His wisdom, with His purpose and His desire, and that we would make wise decisions as a committee and lead our church in our missions. Let's pray for our local outreach, Igape, Homi, SP Lives, Freedom, Bridge, and Recreation. Let's pray for our leaders, pray for our volunteers, pray for people that we come in contact with through these ministries, that Holy Spirit would really touch their lives and just bring His joy and His life into their lives. So let's lift up. Let's pray for SP Fam, our foster and adoption ministries. Pray for our the babies that God has given us care over in this season. Let's pray for the families and the house churches that are coming alongside. Let's also lift up other families that are signing up and in the interview process and all those things would go well, that God would entrust more babies to us. Let's pray for our gatherings tonight over our intercessory prayer meeting, our SP Youth, our SPU, and we also have our Lamb weekend retreat starting tonight. And let's just ask God's hand to be with us, all the leaders, everyone that's sharing and preaching, that God's people would be blessed, that the students would grow, that the married couples would grow in their love for each other. Let's just lift up tonight. Let's pray for house church tonight. Elements, Go, McCain, McDaddy, McRobinson. Let's pray for our leaders, our hosts. Pray that the people of God would really fall deeper in love with God and with one another. The discussion, the worship, the ministry would really glorify the Lord and edify one another. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God. We love you, Lord. Would you watch over us? Help us to stand in the gap, God. Lord, to really come against the violence, God, to come against really the schemes of the evil one, God, over this city. To be ones that, Lord, to fight the good fight of faith, God, that identify and repent on behalf, Lord, of the wrongdoers, Lord. Would you help us, God? Give us wisdom, Lord. God, protect this city, Father. Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe over us, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We love you, God. Watch over us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. We'll see you over the weekend.